Support for Newsworthy comes from Enlivion, providing affordable housing and supportive services to help build strong foundations for a better future for hardworking families, seniors, and the disabled in Charlotte. More information available at enlivion.com. And from Thrivent Associate Representative Mark Hargrove. Thrivent is a financial services company helping individuals and families manage their money and plan for the future. More at mark.hargrove@thrivent.com.
From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Thursday, April 24th, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. North Carolina State Auditor Dave Bolick says he'll appeal a ruling by a three-judge panel that struck down a Republican-backed law giving him control of the State Board of Elections. In the 2-1 decision Wednesday, the judges found the law violated the state constitution's separation of powers. The law had taken away Democratic Governor Josh Stein's ability to appoint members to the Board of Elections, giving that power instead to Bolick, who is a Republican. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board was divided in its vote Tuesday on the now-approved 2025-26 budget, which promises a 5% increase in the local teacher salary supplement. Some board members said that wasn't enough. James Farrell has more on the local debate over teacher pay.
The schism that emerged in Tuesday night's 5-3 vote was less about whether teachers should be paid more and more about who should be held accountable if they aren't paid enough. While Mecklenburg County funds the teacher pay supplement, board member Lisa Klein argued that the board needs to more aggressively lobby all levels of government.
The only thing somebody can say is no to your ask, but we're not even asking. And I'm very disappointed in that.
But those who voted for the budget said putting too much emphasis on the county supplement would let the state off the hook. Funding schools is primarily the state's responsibility, says board chair Stephanie Sneed. But she feels too much money is going elsewhere.
There is a tragedy that's happening, that there is money that taxpayers have already paid that is not coming from the state to support our school system.
Regardless of their vote, most board members agree the fight for higher teacher pay needs to continue in Raleigh. The state Senate has just proposed a teacher pay raise for next year of 2.3%. Less than the 3% the district was anticipating. James Farrell, WFAE News.
Mecklenburg County Commissioners held a meeting Wednesday with the towns and municipalities working together to find a solution for a contract impasse between Medic and first responders. Kenneth Lee has more.
After a temporary extension, Medic's contract with Charlotte Fire and Huntersville is set to expire in July and in August for Cornelius. Leaders are searching for solutions to address funding and service challenges. Currently, fire crews respond to medical calls under Medic's oversight. If the contract ends, fire crews, funded by the municipalities, would shift responsibility to Medic. Leaders from northern Mecklenburg towns say long ambulance wait times already strain local resources. Here's Davidson's Mayor Rusty Knox.
When I'm waiting on an ambulance, I've got 8 firefighters that are on a shift. 4 on this truck, 4 on that truck. If my truck's waiting on an ambulance, I'm down 50%.
Officials urged the county to commission a third-party study to assess emergency medical needs. County Commissioner Elaine Powell questioned whether Mecklenburg should pay the municipalities to provide emergency medical services.
We have to invest in Medic. And if we're investing more in supplementing and what a lot of people believe double taxation, we're using dollars that would be better used building Medic.
Powell also said if a third-party study is conducted, each town should have input to ensure local needs are addressed. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
A judge has ruled that the person appointed to fill a seat on the Cabarrus County Commission cannot be sworn in while a lawsuit over that appointment is ongoing. The Charlotte Observer reports Superior Court Judge Stephen Warren on Wednesday ruled LaMarie Austin Stripling was named to fill the seat before it was properly vacated, and issued a preliminary injunction in the case. A group has sued over Austin Stripling's appointment to fill the seat that had been held by Chris Miesmer, who left to fill a vacant seat in the state Senate. Judge Warren issued a temporary restraining order in the case last week. That restraining order expires tomorrow. Transportation is the number one emission source in North Carolina. To reduce planet-warming fossil fuel consumption, more people will have to electrify their ride. But carbon-free vehicles are still too costly for many households to own. Zachary Turner reports on a new Charlotte program to help get people behind the wheel of an EV without paying the hefty price tag.
With that, we're going to take a ribbon through cutting.
All right. Oh, there we go.
Mayor Vi Lyles cut the ceremonial ribbon Wednesday in front of two Chevy Volts. The cars are parked at Peppertree Apartments, an affordable housing community on Central Avenue in one of the city's designated low-income corridors of opportunity. These two vehicles are now available for residents to rent up to 24 hours at a time. Heather Bullock is Charlotte's chief sustainability officer.
40% of our greenhouse gas emissions come from transportation, and so we're really working to decarbonize the transportation sector, and this is really one of the ways to do that.
The Carolina Car Share Program was funded in part by a Biden-era Department of Energy block grant, money to help communities reduce energy use. A single hour with the car cost $5, a day, $50. The city is obtaining charging station permits for three other locations to expand the program. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
The annual Merlefest Music Festival kicks off in Wilkes County today. As WFDD's Paul Garber reports, the lineup includes some who are used to the limelight and many who aren't.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member Bonnie Raitt is Friday night's headliner. And in the audience will be a blues singer who considers her a role model. Melissa McKinney has always wanted to be on stage at Merlefest, and this year she's getting her chance. Her five-piece band, Mama and the Ruckus, will be one of eight acts competing in the festival's annual band contest.
We are based out of Asheville, so we're extra excited to be a part of it this year because any chance that we have to showcase Asheville in a positive light after what we've been through just feels really special, and it's just a real honor.
Although she's never played Merlefest before, her daughter, a bassist in the band, has. As a child, she played on the Little Picker stage. Other notable bands performing this year include Grammy-winning trio I'm With Her and North Carolina-based The Avett Brothers. I'm Paul Garber.
The Carolina Panthers said that due to construction at the team's practice fields in Uptown, they will not allow fans at this year's and next year's training camps. The Panthers say they'll still host fans during FanFest at Bank of America Stadium on August 2nd. The Panthers have the eighth overall pick in tonight's NFL draft. Economists continue to sound the alarm about a possible recession amid President Trump's trade war. So what would a recession mean for the Charlotte region? The Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter addressed that with one of the area's best-known economists. And the Ledger's Tony Macias spoke to our Marshall Terry for more on that and other stories for our segment, Bizworthy.
You talked with Mark Vittner, chief economist at Piedmont Crescent Capital, and he said there are reasons for concern, but also some cautious optimism. Let's start with the bad. What did he say are the concerns?
Mark Vittner told me that it's sort of a mixed bag. That on the one hand, there are some concerns about the economy. Charlotte is not immune from things going on in the larger economy, but that if our country were to go into a recession, we would see in Charlotte some of the things we would see nationwide, which is people would start pulling back on their spending, businesses would stop spending, they would stop hiring. It would be sort of a cascading effect of a lot of those things happening all at once.
And the cautious optimism?
Well, the cautious optimism sort of comes from the fact that Charlotte is still a growing city. People still want to move here. They still want to live here. And it's sort of one of these, where would you rather be? You know, that if the nation is going to go into a recession or the economy is going to slow down, Charlotte's a pretty good place. Just generally, Charlotte is doing pretty well compared to most other big cities.
On now to the state of Charlotte's office market. Three leading real estate firms recently released reports looking at it, and you say they were mixed. How so?
Yes, I looked at some recent reports from real estate firms JLL, Cushman & Wakefield, and Avison Young. The big negatives are things you and I have talked about over the last few years. Number one, we're not really building any more office towers. There's just one major project, the Commonwealth project in Plaza Midwood. That's really the only big one in the region. So we're not going to see new offices coming online in the next couple of years. And at the same time, the vacancy rates of existing offices is around 22 or 25%. A lot of that is concentrated in older office buildings. We have have a very big supply of empty office buildings. The good news is, again, sort of where else would you rather be? Charlotte is doing better than peer cities in terms of those vacancies. And there's a lot of optimism among office brokers that more companies are going to be moving here. They're confident there are going to be more leases signed soon. One related piece of that, Marshall, is that I also looked at the tax value of Uptown properties. Uptown has about a third of the office space in the entire Charlotte region. So this is a problem that has an outsized effect on Uptown. But, you know, the value of total taxable property in Uptown is still increasing, because even though some of these offices are empty and they're declining in value, there are other properties that are being redeveloped and adding value. So far, not seeing a big hit in terms of tax revenue or the overall tax base Uptown.
And I guess a recession would have an effect on that, though.
Well, yes. You know, when there's a recession, companies pull back on spending. They get a little more cautious. Maybe they hold off on moving into nice new office space. Obviously, there are some hot spots around town. You know, you think of South End, some of these other neighborhoods close to Uptown. They might be a little more resistant than others. But overall, I think a recession wouldn't be good for that sector of the economy.
Finally, Charlotte's largest carrier, American Airlines, says it will begin offering free Wi-Fi starting next January. I thought airlines were adding fees for everything, not offering things for free. What's behind this move?
You're right. There has been this tradition of sort of charging for everything. This counters that a little bit. I think it's a recognition that competitively they see other airlines that are doing this, that are making it free. And it's maybe a way to kind of differentiate itself against other competitors. American says that, you know, when this comes online in January of 2026, about 90% of their planes will have free Wi-Fi. It's just sort of the reality of where we are. People want to be connected and not be blacked out of their phone in the air.
All right, Tony. Thank you.
Thanks, Marshall.
That's Tony Macia of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter. Support for Bizworthy comes from the law office of Robertson & Associates. The NFL draft is tonight in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the Carolina Panthers have the 8th overall pick. To find out what the team is thinking, our Witty Kane chatted with Mike Kay, who's the Panthers beat writer for the Charlotte Observer.
Before we get into the draft itself, let's back up a little bit and sum up how the Panthers wound up with one of the top draft picks, which go to the teams with the worst records in the NFL. There really was a lot going on, a new coach, a new GM, and that's after the turmoil of the previous year.
Yeah, when you inherit a team with 2 wins and then you have a brand new head coach and a brand new GM and a second-year quarterback who was pretty much underserved from a weapon standpoint, you're going to have some growing pains, right? And so I think they got into week one, the offense just looked abysmal, and that matched the defense. And, you know, eventually after week two's embarrassing loss, they decided to change things, and they benched Bryce Young. And then they went with Andy Dalton, and the offense didn't get significantly better outside of a blip in week three against the Raiders in a win. And then Bryce Young was shoved back into the offense, and over time he got some encouraging signs. I wouldn't say last year was particularly great at any point, but I do think he showed that he could eventually be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Unfortunately, on the opposite side, the defense was historically bad. It gave up the most rushing yards in a season since 1980 and the most points ever. Granted, they're playing in a 17-game season and the sampling size is pretty small. But, you know, they finished 5-12. They were given a lot of grace because clearly this was a rebuild after a rebuild after a rebuild after a rebuild. And so I think now that all the parts aren't new, I think it's time for them to start winning, and they have to attack the draft accordingly.
You mentioned the defense. Statistically, as you said, they turned out to be historically bad. So what went wrong with that group?
You know, losing Derrick Brown, your best player, one of their franchise pillars in week one, was kind of a rough go.
Defensive lineman they were counting on to kind of stuff the middle.
Right. And then losing Shaq Thompson, who's a longtime steward of the franchise, and their safety play was horrific. Like, this was an abysmal run defense. Like, abysmal. Like, no one could stop anyone. I think that was largely due to the defensive line being pushed around and the safety play being horrific. And they went into free agency knowing that they needed to fix the front seven so they don't feel like they have to force a pick in this week's draft. And what I think you're seeing with what they did in free agency is they're favoring platoons, which is what the successful teams do. The Chiefs, the Eagles, the Ravens, they all just weave guys in and out and have different packages. And I think that was the right move.
All right, well, now let's look to tonight. Many of the mock drafts where people who cover the teams in the NFL try to read the crystal ball and figure out which players will end up in which city, a lot of those mention a guy who grew up in Salisbury. Tell us about him and how likely it is that Carolina picks some homegrown talent with number 8.
Yeah, I think Jalen Walker, the linebacker from Georgia, he's a hybrid player, really talented, blue chip, but kind of like a tweener. He's a bit smaller. He's 6'1", 243, has 32-inch arms. That's not really screaming NFL edge rusher. But the Panthers have said that they view him as an edge rusher. He would be an outlier, similar to Bryce Young at quarterback. I do think there's interest in him. I think the Panthers would prefer to trade out of that pick at number 8 and get some value added to a prospect. Once you get past the first 5 or so non-QB draft prospects, the values are all pretty comparable, I would say, from about 7 to 25. So if teams are willing to trade up for the number 2 cornerback, the number 2 offensive tackle, the number 2 edge rusher, what have you, maybe it makes more sense to have additional draft compensation and then another player like Mikel Williams or Donovan Ezeraku or some other edge rusher or potentially a wide receiver like Matthew Golden.
All right. Well, Mike, we appreciate your time during a busy week, and we'll look forward to seeing who the Panthers wind up with.
Thanks for having me.
And for Thursday, April 24th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.